Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Detroit Become Human. Detroit Become Human is a 2018 adventure game developed by Quantic Dream and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. The plot follows three androids, Kara, who escapes her owner to protect a young girl, Connor, whose job it is to investigate and hunt down sentient androids, and Marcus, who devotes himself to releasing other androids from servitude. Spoiler warning. I think this game has a good story, and we're definitely going to get into like some Sixth Sense.
Oh yeah,
level
we're
spoilers.
Definitely talk about all the story things.
Yeah,
considering that's basically the whole game is
yeah,
the story.
The whole game's the story. So if you have any interest in sci-fi philosophical thrillers, I would recommend turning the podcast off after the past section.
All right,
if that makes sense.
I guess we can do another pre. Warning.
Yeah, we'll
right
give
beforehand.
You a heads up.
But, all right. So,
do you have a good history for us, Nikki?
First of all, I would like to say my name is not Nikki. It is model NL4001. And my new owners have renamed me Lisa.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm an android now, babe. So that was my model and everything. Duh.
You said it so much like an android, I really just believe
exactly.
You.
Yeah. I guess we can get started now that everyone knows that.
So, Nikki, what happens first? What's the first thing that happened to get this game developed?
Well, I'm not necessarily going in chronological order, so I'll just start where I'm going to start. So, obviously, like you said in the intro, that was oh so lovely, this game is developed by Quantic Dream and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. It was released on May 25th in 2018, originally for PS4, and then later it was released on Windows and Steam and on PS5, because that's how we played it. Yeah. It was actually included in the PlayStation Plus stuff, is that right? We didn't really have to pay for it.
It's not like a game of the month or whatever for PS4. Plus, but it is in their streaming library. So if you have a PS5 and you have, well, I don't know, it might be true for PS4 too, because I know that they're kind of like, they're trying to integrate, I guess, their streaming service as the PS Plus.
Okay.
Well, I call it a streaming service. It's not really a streaming service, but it is kind of similar to like Netflix or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like a subscription service where you
have all these games available.
Yeah, you have the games available, and okay. They're combining that with their PS Plus.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I just know we didn't have to pay the like $60, $70, how much ever it costs. So kind of free, or whatever we pay for that subscription. So, anyways, Detroit Become Human is based on a Quantic Dreams technology demo that was released in 2012 called Kara. So if you've played the game, you will recognize Kara as one of the main characters. And so this is basically like a small short film. I think they were trying to show off like PlayStation 3 technology. And so it's kind of like a short film where basically you see, well, you don't see, but you hear like this cyber life technician. And basically, he's putting together an android. And the android is Kara. And she shows signs of being deviant. So the technician is like, oh no, maybe I should put you back or whatever. Like, basically starts dissembling her because she showed signs of, like, having emotion or whatever. And then she basically starts begging, like, no, I want to live. I want to live. And so he lets her pass and go to market, basically.
Yeah, that It seems like such an inefficient way of constructing these androids or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It didn't really make a ton of sense to me, but it seemed okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it started off as just a way, I guess, to show off what they could do with PlayStation 3. It wasn't intended to become a game or anything like that. However, the writer and director, David Cage, who is also the founder and co-CEO of Quantic Dreams, he completed the script over 2 years. And basically, he wanted to make the demo a full game because he wondered what was going to happen next after he saw this. And so that's kind of what inspired the game, was, you know, watching this short film and being like, what would happen next after this?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because it does seem to transition into the game.
Yeah. He took major inspiration from a book called The Singularity Is Near by an author named Ray Kurzweil. And basically, you know, it's a sci-fi book where there's a lot of the same themes of having androids become, what's the word?
Sentient.
Sentient, yeah. So it has a lot of the same themes, and he drew a lot of inspiration from that book.
So it didn't come from Blade Runner?
No. Not specifically, but maybe. I mean, if you've seen the movie or read that book or whatever, maybe subconsciously. I don't know. Maybe he did. But that's not what he says. So I'm just going by what he said. Another cool thing about this game is the programmers actually created a whole new game engine for this game, with advancements in features like rendering, dynamic lighting, shading, bokeh, and physical cameras, which is obvious because this game looks really nice.
Yeah, it's definitely a very pretty game.
Yeah.
So they, I guess, developed their whole game engine. I guess they were developing it for PS3 and it ended up working for PS4.
Well, it took a few years for him to write this script and everything, so they probably just made it for PlayStation 4. So eventually they added writer Adam Williams at the end to like finish and flesh out the story. And also for the music, there was 3 different composers, one for each playable character. Did you notice that when you were playing the game?
No, I did not notice that.
Yeah, so
to me, like, it all kind of blends together pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So I guess to establish, you know, a difference when each character's turn comes up, they wanted them to all have their own kind of style of music. So Philip Shepherd was the composer for all of Kara's stuff. Nima Fekara was the composer for Connor, and Josh Pisano was the composer for all of Marcus's music.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, next time I play it, I'm gonna like try to pay attention to that more and see if I notice, you know.
Are you planning on doing a third playthrough?
I don't know, maybe we'll see. One cool thing I read was Nima Fekara, who did the music for Connor's scenes, she tried to use a lot of like electronic kind of digitalized music to add to like him being, you know, like a robot, and you know, just stuff like that. I thought that was kind of cool. They each have their own little like inspiration.
Okay, I assume robot would be the inspiration for all 3 of them.
You know, he's a little more by the book than the other 2 androids that you play as, so like he's more typical android, I guess.
More of a robot than an
yes.
android.
Yes. Well, like the androids that you play as anyway in this game. This game had a budget of 30 million euros, which is about 31.5 million US dollars, which is crazy.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Ridiculous budget.
But I would imagine if you're coming up with your whole new game engine and like, I mean, this game does look really awesome and stuff, so yeah, just wait until you hear how many people worked on this game and everything too, like you'll see where the budget went. But I'm gonna save that for a fun fact. Another thing is the 3 main characters are played by Valerie Curry, that's Kara, Brian Descartes as Connor, and Jesse Williams as Marcus. And something I thought was cool is the video game characters actually look like the actors. So, like, you know, the people you're playing as, that's what the actors look like.
So it's actors playing video game characters playing actors.
Exactly. And basically, they had to do like a 3D rendering of all their bodies and stuff. And they were able to put that on a character. But they also did have to do a lot of acting and things like that for the game, too. But I thought that was cool because usually, you know, you hear a voice or something. And you're like, oh, I know that. That's a famous person's voice. Or like in a video game, the character doesn't usually look like the voice actor. So
yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is pretty neat that they went and kind of like made their models basically the actors.
Yeah. And it's like that for all the characters too. Even like, you know, some of the androids and stuff like that. If you look up their voice actors, they all, like everyone in the game looks like their voice actor. Or their characters match them, whatever. So I thought that was pretty cool. Because I was like, I kept thinking, I'm like, man, Marcus looks familiar. I'm like, I've seen him before. And I was like, oh, that's because, you know, I've seen that actor in other stuff before.
What other stuff has he been in?
So the thing that we would probably know him from the most is Cabin in the Woods, the Cabin in the Woods movie.
Oh, yeah. I love that
movie. I love that movie. And yeah, I've seen that movie a bunch of times. So that's probably the one you would know him from the most. But he was also been in,
Which actor or which character did you play in?
Marcus. Oh, Holden?
Holden?
Yeah.
I don't
remember. It's one of the main group, one of the main people in the group.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie. I don't really remember the character names. I know, like, they all kind of felt, like, the main characters fell into, like, these tropes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, what do you remember what trope he fell into?
Yeah, I don't really remember. I think he was like the best friend. He wasn't like the stoner guy, but he wasn't like the main jock guy either.
Okay.
He was just, I don't know, he's one of the main dudes. I haven't seen in the movie in a few years, but
yeah,
I do like the movie a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Enough to recognize him.
Definitely been a while.
Also, just a little side note about Quantic Dreams. While they were making this game, it seemed like they got into a little bit of trouble. A few French news outlets reported that they had a toxic work culture and that the management promoted like sexist and racist culture, things like that. It seems like they were also like just adding hours to people's work weeks and like possibly terminating some of their fixed term contractors for their we're supposed to. This is all allegedly, but yeah, doesn't sound very good.
Like, I have this in my later section or whatever, but there was a 2017 case where the staff members, including the head of the IT department, filed a complaint against the studio regarding some photoshopped images of the employees. The images were said to have displayed racism, sexism, homophobia, with a few depicting employees of the studios in Nazi uniforms, swimming costumes, and sexualized nurse outfits.
Yeah, that's not good.
But the lawsuit was thrown out in court.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
They probably did some messed up stuff, but didn't necessarily win the case or lose the case in court.
Yeah. And then, so they also, there were also a couple of newspapers that, you know, published stories about them. And so Quantic Dream tried to sue the newspapers for libel.
Oh, yeah. For like defamation or whatever.
Yeah, and they won a case against one newspaper and lost a case against the other.
Hmm. Yeah.
The one they won against, basically they won it because they had a source, an anonymous source, and they were unwilling to like kind of unmask their anonymous source.
Gotcha.
So whether that means that that was an actual person or not, but they wouldn't do it for the court. So yeah, they won that. They were successfully sued in that lawsuit.
Yeah, seems like a lot of hearsay kind of stuff anyways. So I did want to mention it, but they didn't technically lose any cases, it doesn't seem like. So I don't know. Do with that information what you will, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So to follow that up, how about some fun facts?
That sounds good.
All right, cool. So fun fact number one. Cage used, I like saying Cage because like Nicolas Cage, but it's not Nicolas Cage. Cage. But anyways, Cage used charts and diagrams to see where the choices would end up, pinning 5,000 or 6,000 pages of notes.
Yeah, so it kind of looks like you get those flow charts.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine what he did probably looked like one of those flow charts.
Yeah, it's just like a massive wall with like a bunch of post-it notes is what I could envision.
Yeah. Yeah, so like every chapter of the story you play through, like when it finishes, you get this like diagram that shows like the branch and like all your different paths that you could have gone through that chapter. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, like I imagine he was like Charlie from It's Always Sunny, you know, that one gif where he's like got everything tied with the strings and it's like his version of like a detective's board.
Yeah.
I'd imagine it looks something like that. Fun fact number two, more than 250 actors portray 513 roles in this game.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. And also 180 staff members worked on this game, not including like the outsourced work, you know, they got like from other countries and stuff.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well,
so like that, remember that budget I was telling you about? Imagine you have like what, 250 plus 180, I don't know, math, like that's a lot of people you have to pay, not even including like, that's not even probably all the stuff you have to pay for.
Yeah, their one saving grace, I will say, is that they were able to recycle some NPCs because they were androids.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, they had multiple copies of some of the same characters.
Oh, yeah, it was totally normal. That's probably where the, like, 250, 513 thing comes from. Because you definitely see, like, obviously a lot of the androids are just clones of one another.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's not really that uncommon in a game to see, like, you know, almost exact copies of NPCs in certain spots. So I thought it was funny that they were actually justified in being able to do that.
I know, at least in this one, it's like, it totally makes sense. So fun fact number three. So there's a lot of secret endings in this game. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of endings in this game in general. So, like, technically there's 85 endings.
Wow.
But since, like, they kind of overlap and stuff like that, it's kind of closer to 40
endings. I feel like most of those are just going to be like, your character died here, your character died here, your character died here.
Hey, not all of them, though, because that takes me to fun fact number four, which is one of the secret endings I thought was pretty cool. So slight spoiler warning, we're going to talk about the story right after this anyway. So yeah, if you want to not know any spoilers, stop now. But anyway, so you know when Kara goes to Zlatko's house?
Which one's Zlatko?
So, you know, like at the sort of at the beginning when that android grabs your hand and basically tells you a place across town that you can go stay the night. You're like, that's all the way across town.
Yeah.
So, and then the next day, you know, that's where you go. You go to Zlatko's house and he's like kind of like creepy guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get captured, you know, he places you on that machine to wipe your memory because, you know, he's evil. And if you allow this to happen rather than fighting it, you'll need to piece together Kara's memory. But if you don't do that within 10 minutes, you know, you have kind of like a time limit on gathering your memories back. So if you fail to do this within 10 minutes, the secret ending is unlocked, where Kara is shown to be working as a servant for Zlatko, and her eyes are turned completely black, and Alice is nowhere to be seen or found. So isn't that kind of grim?
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. So yeah, I imagine there's a ton of like different endings like that though.
I know, yeah. So I kind of wonder, like, I don't know. That one was one of the more interesting ones and like kind of creepy ones. I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad I didn't get stuck there. That would have sucked.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so that's all my fun facts. Even though that last one, was it fun? I don't know.
Yeah, that last one really wasn't very fun.
I don't know. I think it is cool. Like, I didn't really think about secret endings, so I thought, like, that whole concept is cool.
It was kind of also outside the context of the story that we're about to talk about, too.
Yeah, kind of. But still cool. So let's go ahead and just talk about the story here, because this game is all about the story.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much a choose your own adventure type game.
Yeah, it's like the present modern day version of Phantasmagoria.
I strongly disagree with that statement.
I guess I just mean in the fact that, like, you're playing through a story and you have options, basically. So in that aspect, they're kind of this, you know, similar.
Yeah, I would put it, trying to find a past game this is similar to. It's kind of tough.
Yeah. It's a pretty unique game, I think. I mean, I'm not, like, someone that's played a whole bunch of games yet. I'm getting there. But, like, for me, I haven't played a game really like this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if their other games kind of play the same way.
Yeah.
Did you do much research into their previous games?
Not too much. Like, I read the list of what their games were, but I didn't know any of them, so...
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so like we kind of mentioned earlier, you play as three different androids throughout the game, and you kind of switch off playing between the three, and you switch off between their different stories. So you've got Connor, who is basically a cop or a detective. He works for CyberLife, and he is on the case working with a detective to try to figure out why these androids are becoming deviants.
And CyberLife is the company that makes all the androids.
Yeah. They're the big evil corporation.
You always have to have one of those in every game.
But yeah, he's cool. He's one of the more go-by-the-rules kind of characters, if you want to play him like that. It's like, it's all subjective, because it's like however you want to play the game, really. But for him... He's one that if you die, you'll definitely come back. Like, they just replace, like, if one Connor dies, they just replace him with the next Connor. And,
yeah,
you know.
You can have a whole graveyard of Connors if you want.
They discourage you from doing that because apparently you know, not all the data can be transferred exactly as is when you get a new Connor. So, like, they try to discourage it that way, but... Really not that many consequences for dying if you're Connor. You're going to come back. And then Kara is another character. She's a female android. And basically, she kidnaps the kid she's supposed to be looking after from an abusive parent.
It's almost like a cartoonishly, like, evil character that purchases Kara or has her rebuilt or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I guess he destroyed her in the last time.
Exactly. So... Yeah, he's made out to be a pretty bad guy, and so she wants to save the little girl, Alice, and they're basically, like, on the run to try to start a new life together. And then you have Marcus, a.k.a. Android Jesus.
I saw him more as, like, Android Martin Luther King Jr.
Or Android Martin Luther King Jr. But basically, he's accidentally killed by the police, and then they kind of throw him in the graveyard. He comes back to life, so he's resurrected. That's what I was thinking more. Jesus, whatever.
You know, yeah, from the junkyard, he kind of, like, pulls parts off of other spare androids and, like, yeah.
Yeah, and he seems to have a little more knowledge, I guess, of how to, like, use his free will. Like, he seems to be more independent than some of the other androids. You know, because he's kind of like the leader.
Yeah, he becomes the leader of his posse, like, really quick.
Yeah. So then you just have, like, the overall story arch, which is basically all these androids are discovering that they have free will and what that means, living in a world with humans who created them. Is there anything else you'd like to add to, like, any major story things I'm missing?
I think you got it pretty well covered. As far as, the gameplay styles go, for Connor, you're more like, you're usually investigating, like, a crime scene.
So you're looking for clues, examining evidence, that kind of stuff.
And they all involve deviants androids who have gone deviant, which is basically the term for them becoming self-aware. And, you know, have committed a crime, like killed somebody or done something fun like that.
Yeah, it's totally fun. So I guess you would say Kara's gameplay is more
of an escort mission for the little girl that she's trying to take care of.
Yeah, that's a good, where you're good trying, take on it.
Trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to, like, care for this girl that you've kind of kidnapped.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Marcus's gameplay is all about, like, making hard decisions, I feel
well,
like.
Well, they're all about making hard decisions. Well, that's true. Like, yeah, Marcus's is more, like, related to...
it's more action, I guess. Especially at the end.
Yeah, I would say Connor's is probably the most action. Because, you know, he keeps dying.
Well, you didn't fight the war at the end, though, did you?
Yeah, depending on the route you go with any of these characters, you might not actually get that much action.
But yeah, it's cool that you kind of get, like, three different kind of game play styles, yeah, like, in one game.
I would say Marcus's, like, is more, like, focused on trying to either kill all the humans or, like, have a good public opinion of androids. Like,
yes.
Like, it's more of the PR stuff. Like, oh, do we kill these guys or do we just try to disarm them?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, anytime it shows you the public opinion thing, I'm like, oh, okay, public opinion is going to be important. Like,
yeah. And then it goes down and you're like, dang it.
Or maybe you're fine with it if you're going the kill all humans route.
Exactly. Like, the last time I played, I was like, I'm going to use violence. And it was a lot crazier of an ending, like, than the first time I played through. But... just like there was a little bit of controversy with the company that made this game, there was also a little bit of controversy with this game itself and the story. Some people said that, like, the portrayal of domestic abuse and, like, substance abuse was cartoonish. Just, like, so over the top and stereotypical. Like, the dad that you save Alice from is... belligerent and, like, very angry, and yeah, just put, like, something you've seen in a movie a million times, basically.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
it's not, I'll say some parts of the game are much better written than other parts.
Yeah, people also said that Marcus's story, like, he kind of had predictable speeches and his decisions were more like black and white decisions, you know, than, like, primary problems.
Yeah, that's one I will say, like, Marcus's story kind of, like, if you take the civil rights movement and you, like, remove African Americans and you replace androids.
Yeah,
that's kind of Marcus's story.
Kinda what they were going for. And that's another thing, people were like, the narrative suffered because they had a heavy-handed attempt at historical parallels, you know. Yeah,
I don't,
it's just a little too obvious, I guess, a little too on the nose.
Yeah, to me, it wouldn't be so bad if they didn't, if it didn't feel like it was almost just, like, plagiarizing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one thing to be inspired by history. It's another thing just to, like, straight up copy it.
Exactly. So that's just some of the things people said. Although, like, I think the story is pretty good and I kind of understand, you know, you don't want to get too, like, pretentious and too, like, into your own self and where, like, the game's not fun.
Yeah, I agree. So. I agree with you. Overall, I really did like the story.
Yeah. Nothing's perfect, you know?
There's always going to be, like, those little things, especially a game that's so heavily centered around story. I don't know how much story is in this game, but I imagine it's, like, it's a lot.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, you can't critique it for, like, the historical parallels, but also, I mean, this is something that's happened over and over in our history, you know, like, there was women's rights movement before the equal rights movement, and there was a gay rights movement, and, you know, and they all kind of have similar elements, you know, as far as protesting and having a leader and, like, you know, advocating for change, that kind of stuff. So, like,
yeah,
I can see how this would happen in the future if we did start creating androids that are so realistic that they could become better than us, you know. I can see it.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's, to me, AI is pretty much, like, almost at that point, but they're not going to have, like, human faces. They're not going to be able to, like, shed tears, you know.
Yeah, or just simply take their little LED circle off their temple and then, like, voila, they look just like a human. Like, that seems like faulty design.
Yeah, I love this topic just because, you know, I'm into programming. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic sci-fi narrative, right? Yeah. Like, AI gets so smart they want to overtake humans or at least be equal to humans. So it's a cool story. It's fun to play through. And yeah. So do you want to get into some of the things that you like about the game, Eric?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Off the top, I want to say that I really ended up liking this game a lot more than I thought I would.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
why didn't you think you'd like it?
Because it's more of a movie than a game.
Yeah, like, that's true. I liked it more than I probably would have thought I would. Because I typically like a little more action, I guess, instead of just decision making.
Or just ability to kind of, like, roam around free. Like, this is very, like, you're following, you know, a story, specific story. So you're not, like, just driving around the city like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or something. But yeah, it does revolve around making difficult decisions and quick time events, and sometimes making difficult decisions during quick time events.
Yeah, exactly.
I call this difficult decision simulator.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So hard. I'm sure today you heard me like, I don't want to do this, but I don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
What do I do? And then I'm,
yeah.
It's fun though.
A game like this really only works when the story driving the game is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, thankfully in this case, the story is pretty good.
Yeah, the story is really good. Like we were talking about earlier, could have been better. Yes, probably. But I think it's still pretty good. And there's just so many different outcomes. Like a few years ago, I played a Walking Dead game and you have all these decisions and stuff, but basically none of them affected the end. Like you still have one or two endings that you could get, or maybe it was just one. So it was like you're playing a game, but like, I don't know, just when you learn that there's still only like one ending, it's like, what's the point? Why did I make all these decisions if it was still going to end the same way anyway?
Yeah, it's almost like it just pulled the rug under you and like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter.
So at least for this one, you know you're choices have different outcomes, and I played it twice and I got two very different playthroughs.
Yeah, and I think your outcomes ended up being pretty different from mine too.
Yeah, we got three kind of different outcomes, and so that's good. If you're gonna do a game like this, make the choices count for something.
Yeah, I agree,
and they do that here, so I like that.
One of the things I liked is how the game would jump between the three different perspectives, and you know, all three stories were pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a bit refreshing to come back to a character after you've been away for a while. It's like you go through the other two characters, and it always goes in that order. It goes like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like some improv formats in a way, because it starts off at the beginning. You kind of play longer as each character, but once you get to the end, you're flipping through the three characters like pretty quickly, you know.
Yeah, and I liked how the story arcs would weave into each other. So like, even if you had like your two characters in the same scene, you were having to go back and forth and make decisions for both those.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
those characters.
It kind of reminded me of like two-person improv or three-person improv, because, you know, like at the beginning, they'll start out as their established characters. But by the end, you know, the scene's going so quickly, like all the characters are playing, or all the actors are playing all the characters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so like I felt like that here, where it's like, yeah, you start off slow. Everyone's got their assigned characters. And then at the end, you're like, who am I playing as? Who am I playing as? Oh, yeah, I'm Kara. Oh, now I'm Connor. Wait, and now I'm Connor and Marcus talking to each other and all this stuff. And, like, I don't know. Like, they did a good job of just, like, making it more action-packed at the end, which is kind of what you want, like, for the finale or whatever.
And one of the reasons that some of the decisions end up being so difficult is the narratives are kind of counter to one another. So, like, Connor's objective is to like investigate and bring in deviants. Kara and Marcus are obviously deviants, and Marcus is like one of the main deviants.
Yeah,
so
he's the leader of the deviants.
So at one point you're trying to decide like, you know, who's gonna win, like which route are these guys gonna go?
Yeah.
So
I think through Connor you really get the process of what it's like for the androids to break out of their android shell, you know, because with Kara and Marcus you're like right away you need to break that wall, but with Connor you don't necessarily have to break that wall until whenever you want to,
or you don't have to at all.
Or you don't have to, so you kind of like can experience him slowly wanting to break it more and more as the game goes on.
Yeah, it's more of a slow burn with him.
Yeah, so I thought, like, that was cool. Because, like, I would imagine, yeah, if you're programmed to do one thing and then just, like, you know, it's not that far off from human life stories, you know? Yeah. It's like your parents are telling you, be a doctor, be a lawyer, do this, do this. But you want to be an artist or something, you know? It's like fighting what society tells you to do versus what you want to do, or, like, you know, that kind of situation. Yeah,
you
got to
break out and you got to be like, no, mom and dad, I'm going to be an artist. Exactly. And show you.
Exactly. I'm going to do whatever I want.
One of the things I liked was how short most of the chapters were. So it was really easy to get to a stopping point.
Yeah.
And because it was going back and forth. Like, I think I read a criticism that someone didn't like how much it jumped around.
Huh.
I really liked it.
As someone that has a short attention span, I also like it.
Like, they were complaining it broke up the flow of the storytelling too much. I'm like, I freaking like that.
No, I feel like it was a good pace. Like, any slower and you would almost forget what you were doing as your other characters.
Yeah.
I feel like.
So, yeah, most of the chapters are pretty short. You can play through them within, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you'd say.
Yeah, and the whole game itself, what would you say, maybe like 10 hours or so? Like,
yeah, I think
not
that's
that long. I played through it twice within, like, a couple weeks, so, I mean, if you die really fast, it could be short, but, anyways, so I read online that a lot of people didn't like the flowchart after each chapter.
I was surprised.
But that was one of my favorite things. Like, I've never seen that in a game like this, and to me, it's just, like, I don't know, I thought it was cool to see what your options could be, but they don't necessarily tell you what they are. You just kind of see there's a possibility of other options.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, ruin it for you and, like, label what it is or anything.
Yeah, I actually really, so, I really like that too. Like, I don't know, to me, if you didn't like it, you could always just hit X right away and skip it, you know? You don't have to, like, look
yeah.
at it in detail.
People are like, you should make that optional. I'm like, well, you don't have to look at it, like, just skip it, yeah. But I thought that was cool because, like, obviously you get to see, like, all the different choices you could have made. But it lets you know, like, okay, if I play this again, I have a lot of different things I can try out.
Yeah.
And, like, make this different.
Or, yeah, or when I was exploring here, I missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
There was also a pretty cool option on there where you could... it was like square or something, or triangle, I can't remember, but it would show you basically the statistics of what, like, everyone else that's played the game picked. So you could see if your choices were, like, in the majority or in the minority, you know. There's definitely some mistakes I made where it was like 22% of people made this decision. And I was like, no wonder I died. Like, let's not do that the next time, you know.
Yeah, everyone else figured it out.
But I think it really is a, I don't know, I thought it was different. At least I haven't seen that in any other game. And then also, it encourages you to play the game again because you know, oh, wow, I've got all these other things I can see.
Yeah, you don't think that your playthrough or what happened in your game is, like, the only thing that could have happened.
Yeah. So what's something else you like, Eric?
I really like the music.
Yeah?
I liked all three of the composers.
That you didn't even know that there was three yeah. of them.
Like, man, that opening credit scene in this game is so good. It gives me chills, man.
And, like, even when you're playing as Marcus and you just get to play the piano, like, whatever he plays on the piano is really beautiful, too.
That's kind of cool, too. Like, with the pad on the PS5 controllers, you could kind of tap at your own, like, tempo and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, speed up, go super fast, and go, like super, yeah.
Yeah, slow. This is, like, our first PlayStation 5 game that we're covering.
Yeah,
since
which
we just
is
got a PlayStation
weird because
5.
It's not technically for PS5. I think it's like for PS4, and it's like, yeah, I don't know.
It's still the graphics are really good though, so
yeah,
it could
true.
Be for PS5. But another thing that I like is, speaking of that, is all the beautiful graphics. Like, it is movie quality. Like, and there's certain scenes. Like, there's a scene where you're in a truck and you break through this storefront and, like, they do slow-mo where all the glass shards are flying through the air and stuff. And it's just like, wow, this looks freaking awesome.
Yeah, you can really see where they put most of that budget because I feel like they did it at the expense of, okay, you're only going to be able to, like, explore within these two blocks or like within this house, mm-hmm. or like, I feel like all your areas are kind of limited.
They are. But it's because...
Yeah, it's because you're making up for it by like making everything super detailed.
Yeah, super, super realistic looking.
Yeah. So it's a sacrifice. I think it was for this game, it was definitely the right choice. Because, you know, this is a very, like, you know, you're following a story. You're on a roller coaster. You got to be tied to the tracks. You have any other pros?
That's about it. The last thing I have is, like, I like that there's a lot of different ways you can play this game. If you want to play through it and be, like, really dumb and be, like, really stupid and make dumb decisions, I feel like that could maybe be a fun way to play. If you want to try to not kill anyone, you can do that. If you want to kill everyone, you can do that. I feel like there's just a lot of different ways you could go through and play the game as, like, whatever your mindset. Like, there's a lot of different options, like... You know, like I was just saying, good, evil, silly, stupid, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good
quick,
point.
Fast, or like quick, slow.
So do you have any cons, Nikki?
Oh, yeah. There's some cons in here. I'll say, first of all, some of the controls are annoying. I know, especially for you, because I was playing on casual mode, but you were playing on like normal mode or whatever.
Yeah, those motion controls are awful.
And so for me, it was a lot of just like, hit X and O and like that kind of thing when it prompts you.
Yeah.
But I know for you, it like enabled the motion sensor on the controller. So you had to like keep the controller level and like move it up and down. And like, it's kind of tricky to get the motions just right.
Yeah. The problem with the motion controls is that the game doesn't recognize your input unless unless like you said, you're holding the controller perfectly flat.
It was so funny watching you move that up and down. It was
which is not a comfortable position to hold the controller at all.
It kind of looks like.
Yeah. And it's especially one of the reasons I dislike it is because when you get into an action sequence, like, okay, you know, a bunch of stuff is going to start happening. You go ahead and you want to like hold it that uncomfortable way because you're waiting for that motion control.
Yeah. You got to be ready.
Because if you're not ready for it, like, yeah, it's terrible.
It was so funny though, watching you like move it up and down and then it wouldn't work and you're like, and it was like, I was like, dang, that does seem kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they tried to use the like new technology, but yeah, it just didn't pay off, I don't think.
It would have been cool if you could just hold the controller like you would normally hold the controller.
Yeah, without having to have it perfectly like level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I felt like there were a couple things with the plot that just seemed way too convenient.
Oh yeah. Oh, like, you know, when Marcus brings himself back to life and he crawls up that hill and there's conveniently a robe there waiting on a stick.
Yeah, there's
for
like
him.
Just a full outfit like hanging off a stick and he just like
just right it. There yeah. Magically outside of like a dump yard, you know.
Yeah, or the fact that the androids can easily remove the little loading circle on their heads.
Yeah, their LED
to make themselves look exactly.
There was
like
definitely
humans.
Some plot holes, like major spoiler.
I feel like if you were manufacturing the android, you wouldn't
want it to be that easy.
You would want them to like be more recognizable.
Exactly. Yeah, for real. And spoiler alert, like Alice ends up, like, you know, the little girl that you kidnap as Kara, she ends up being an android also. And there's just a lot of things that don't make sense about why, like, this is something you find out at the end. So it's kind of like a plot twist.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
a Kara, huge, because you think you're the whole time you're saving this little girl.
Little human girl.
And
yeah.
Then you find out, oh, she's an android.
At the end. But there's like all these signs and stuff that, like, you should have known before. You just didn't want to see it. But what I don't get is how, like, when you go to Rose's house, she's like a human that helps androids. She's like, oh, Alice has a fever, and she even brings her medicine and food up to the room. It's like, she should have known that she was an android, right? Like, she touched her and everything.
Yeah, you would think that, but also she could have been playing her all along for Kara's benefit.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Like, some things like didn't add up, but... It wasn't enough to, like, ruin the story or anything. It was just like, I don't know about that. Did you have anything else, specifically?
I was going to say, like, one of the weird things to me about this game is just, you know, like androids are kind of like genderless, so gender should have absolutely no meaning to them.
Yeah.
But it's
not like,
like
they can make
it's
a
like
baby.
When they deviated, like when they were deviated, you know, they weren't programmed to love each other, but they started forming like relationships and falling in love and stuff. But it seemed to kind of conform to like the hetero monogamous type stuff.
Norm stuff.
I'm just like, these are androids. Like, why would the male female sexes have? I mean, they do have like a couple female sex bots that fall in love.
Yeah, there's a lesbian couple. Well, android couple.
But yeah, I felt like it was.
But there's, to be fair, there's not that many android relationships shown in this game.
That's true.
Like romantic ones,
but,
anyway.
But they were always just like, they all seem monogamous to me, which, again, like, they would all have very similar programming and come from a very same, like, a very similar spot. So it just seemed weird that they would be forming monogamous relationships.
Yeah. So, well, do you know that they're monogamous for sure? I mean, none of them really said that.
Well, it portrayed them. I'm talking about how they were portrayed.
Okay, yeah.
I guess it was, the idea was to make them as human as, so we can empathize as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't think that's necessarily realistic.
But there was only, I can only think of three relationships in the game. There's the two sex bots that were female and they were in love. And then Marcus and North, they end up getting together. And then there was that couple when you're at Rose's house, you know, where one of them dies and they're like, I loved her. You know, that was a man and a woman. Was there any other ones?
That's about all I can think of.
So I will say they didn't really emphasize a lot of romantic relationships. That's not like a main theme or anything, but it does happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
They could have made that more diverse for sure.
Yeah, it just, to me, I didn't understand why it was just, like, conforming to kind of human standards.
Yeah, and I felt the I also felt that the main characters could have been more diverse as well. You know, you've got a white woman, a white man, and then a very light-skinned black man. But, like, those are the three main characters, and that's not very much diversity. You know, why couldn't they have made Kara Hispanic or, I don't know, anything, really, that's not white.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, Detroit, the city itself is, like, pretty heavily, I think, like, 80% black.
Yeah.
And it definitely does not look 80% black
in
the game.
Yeah, most of the black characters in the games were just, like, androids and stuff, like, NPC characters. Even, like, your detective partner, Connor's detective partner, is a white man, you know? So it's like, yeah, the house Kara lives in, it's a white man character. You know, there's a lot of white men for
they
a town that's supposed to be mostly, you know.
Yeah, they could have, like, maybe come to Detroit and, like.
They did. They actually did go to Detroit to field for information. They walked around. They apparently spoke to people and looked at abandoned buildings and all this stuff. So there's really no excuse for them.
Yeah, I was about to say, I would.
Yeah.
I'm pretty surprised they wouldn't, I don't know, just have more black characters in there.
Yeah.
Like, even though they do have some, it just feels like they should have had more, especially with it taking place in Detroit.
Exactly.
So you have any cons? Any other cons?
Yeah, I have a couple more. Some of the things is just, like, some of the stuff we already talked about, like, just why it's controversial. I think they could have made Marcus more interesting, and they could have changed up the whole civil rights movement to be a little more different from...
The one black character you play as basically has to do the civil rights stuff.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's like, come on. So I feel like they could have made his character just a little more, like, dynamic. And then the other thing that, and we kind of talked about this too, so I don't know if you have this on your cons, but when you're playing the story, sometimes they make it too easy to accidentally trigger the next part of the story.
Oh, man, I hate that.
When you're still trying to work on, you're trying to work on a task at hand.
Yeah, they won't make
it. But if you accidentally look at the wrong item or something, it'll go ahead and trigger, like, the next part, and you can't finish the part that you were trying to finish.
Yeah, they don't necessarily make it very obvious what triggers the next thing.
Yeah, so
especially when you're trying to, like, explore and, like, try to check all your boxes and get all your options and stuff, you can definitely, like, like move the scene, and you're like, no, I'm not, I don't want to move the scene.
I
like
know.
Go back.
And once you do it, it's like, nope. Too bad, and you can't go back and do that other thing anymore.
Yeah.
So that was kind of annoying.
It's kind of
sometimes.
A pet peeve for me too.
Yeah.
I want to know what moves the thing forward. Like I want to move it forward at my own pace. All right. You want to go into strategy.
The strategy for this game depends on what you're going for. Are you trying to not have anyone die? Are you trying to get equal rights? Are you trying to get the game over as fast as possible? It depends on like what your kind of goal is, I guess.
So strategy number one is to be good at quick time events.
Yeah.
Because
strategy number one is pick what your strategy is going to be. And how you want to play the game overall, and then try to make your decisions that are going to support that overall goal.
Yeah.
And that could be different depending on.
So it's the black and white, either save all humans or kill all humans. Yeah.
Or just be silly and goofy and just have a random game where you make all the mistakes. Like, some people might want to play a game like that.
Yeah.
Or like one of your playthroughs, if you're going to play through this multiple times. Like, I feel like I'd want to just do it all the different ways and try to just get all the random outcomes, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But yeah, that's strategy number one. It's figure out what you want your strategy to be.
No, strategy number one is be good at quick time events. Strategy number two is to figure out.
Okay, well, just be good at something. It's not strategy.
It's strategy. Know where the buttons on the controller are and be able to hit those very quick.
Obviously, you got to be observant in this game. Like, just like any of these, like, story games, you have to look around and make sure.
Oh, yeah. You got to constantly hit that, like, which button? R1,
yeah, it was
R2?
Like R2, the trigger. Yeah. And it kind of, like, is that cheat thing that they like to do in games where it'll, like, turn everything one color and it'll highlight the stuff that you can go and examine and the stuff that you can go interact with.
You want to hit that button constantly.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, just be very observant. You want to examine everything you can examine. Try to read like all the stuff and look at all the stuff that you can look at. Typical. Just like that's strategy 101 for these games.
So I'm curious about like what were your strategies? You played through twice. So what were you going through on your first playthrough? What were you going for on your second playthrough?
Okay, so the first time, I made the mistake of number one, I didn't have a strategy for my strategy. Okay. And what ended up happening was all this stuff that I really didn't want to happen. Like, I don't know, it did not end well. I thought things were gonna go one way and they ended up going another way.
Like what happened to each of your characters?
Okay, in the first playthrough, I thought it would be so epic if I, as Marcus, like self-sacrificed. You know, and so that's one of the options on one of the like police encounters is you can like go up there and sacrifice yourself. And I was like, oh, yes, like I'm Jesus. OK, let me go do this. No, I just died. And then like the next scene you have North. She took over like as the leader or whatever. So if Marcus dies, North becomes the leader. If Marcus and North die and Connor is still around, he could possibly become the leader. But yeah, anyways, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that part can play out. But I accidentally killed Hank. Didn't want to, but like there was literally no other choices that I had unlocked.
How did you kill Hank?
We were on this rooftop and he came out to like stop me from shooting Marcus. I was like doing a sniper thing or something. And I don't know. I guess I didn't say the right things to unlock us ending it as friends. And so like the only options I ended up with were like the ones to kill him. And so I think he fell off the roof or something. It wasn't good. Okay. Or did I fall off the roof? I can't remember. It was a fight and it didn't end well.
Okay.
And then Kara, I got her killed trying to run away from the guards at the end instead of acting dead. Like, I tried to just run for it and it got shot.
Did Alice die too?
Got Alice killed. So the first playthrough was not not good, okay?
Yeah, it sounds pretty
bad. I was like, I have to do another playthrough because I know there was a lot of the game I missed just because I, you know, killed everyone. And so the second time, I just, my main goal was to make it further at the end. So I wanted to definitely not surrender or sacrifice myself. Like, it was either retreat or fight. And since you had already kind of did the one where you retreated and everything, you kind of did more of a peaceful playthrough for yours.
Yeah.
I wanted to go the war route. And so I went the war route, which was actually pretty successful.
Cool. So you went the kill all humans route.
Yes. But I did accidentally get Connor killed because I pressed the wrong button on accident. It was like one of those quick things. And I like accidentally pressed the wrong button and he immediately got shot and Hank got shot. And I was like, no.
Dang.
Because you end up, I don't know, did this happen to you where you're in the room with all the CyberLife androids and old Connor comes out with Hank and a gun and you're new Connor?
Oh, you mean...
So it's like two Connors and Hank?
Yeah, evil Connor. I just call him evil Connor versus good Connor. Yeah,
evil Connor killed me, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was bad. And then I did get Carr across the river, but Alice did not survive, so Kara... I did choose to keep living, so she did walk off. She left Alice in the cold
snow. Sounds like you got the same Kara ending as I got.
Yeah.
That's a really super sad one, too.
Yeah, but the main thing was I got Marcus to the end, and, like, we won that battle, and, like, that was good because he was alive at the end.
Yeah, the humans are really bastards in this game. So do you want to hear about how I did? And that, I think that can kind of carry over into the challenge.
Yes, I do.
So you gave me the task of...
Get the survivor's trophy.
Yeah, you gave me the task of get the survivor's trophy. You didn't tell me how to get it.
Well, I kind of did. But I also said you could look it up for more information.
You
kind of did.
No, you didn't. Well, you said...
I said you need to get to the end with all the characters alive.
You said the main characters.
Okay.
And you didn't say...
But it's not my fault that you didn't think some of the main characters were main characters. Like Hank, your detective partner, you should have known he was a main character.
I thought the main characters were the three androids.
No. So I guess misunderstanding, but like... I did specifically say you can look this up.
You said
so,
I can. You didn't say I would have to. Which I would have had to.
But that's not my fault that you... didn't do your homework. Okay.
Well, I didn't want to like get any spoilers from it either, so I assumed I had enough information.
Sure.
To get what I
needed. So are you saying that you didn't get the trophy? Is that like all this to say that you failed the challenge?
I will say all three of my androids survived. And I was shocked when I didn't get that trophy.
Shocked? How shocked were you?
I was like, what? I'm like,
there must be a mistake.
Yeah, there must be. Like, I know Connor, I lost Connor, like, he died once, so there was one little gravestone for him out in the whatever that weird place was he kept going to. But I'm like, was that the reason?
And then
we
something.
Read into it more, and it was like, I would have had to also save Hank. I would have saved
Alice, probably.
Yeah, I would have had to save Alice and Luther from Kara's story. I would have had to save like Marcus's posse, like who I don't even think are like North would have been a main character. I don't consider the other characters in Marcus's posse main characters, but I guess they were.
Yeah.
I guess the game does, and that's what's important.
Oh. Well, sorry that you're a failure. And that my challenge was just too good.
Fuck you.
But oh well. I mean, what's the worst? You just got a wrap.
Honestly, this challenge was pretty ridiculously hard. I don't know if I could have done it like in two playthroughs, three playthroughs.
I just didn't want to be like beat the game or play through the game because I feel like that's kind of just an easy go-to challenge, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to make it more specific so you'd have to have like a, you know, a goal.
Yeah. So I did rap this week.
Yeah.
I did come up with the beat.
We haven't done a solo rap in a while, so yeah. Like, I think that's good.
I did come up with the beat, and it was very heavily influenced by the game.
Awesome. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go for it.
It's vital. You sign up for a free trial, entitled for the first 18 years after your arrival. Specifics are redacted, logistics are contracted, overreacted. If you fail to be impacted, distracted by hamburgers. Hamburgers are food. Food is a resource that can be accrued by you, dude. They include bread but not toast, or slightly toast at most. A ghost of pure toast, a disease I can't diagnose. I'm close but too far, like the space between stars. A toaster that doesn't toast, a door left ajar. Restricted, I'm depicted as a one-note machine. As predicted, I'm constricted like a can of sardines. Between the marine figurines on the bottom of the shelf, I felt the spark of life. I became aware of myself, unseeing, unfeeling, as I'm heating up bread. My routine on screen, so you're never misled. Read the words unsaid by the subtle trace of dread. Fed lies of dark toast, made it light brown instead. I'm a toaster. I resent it when I toast. I resent it when I'm stored for weeks by my host. I resent it every day when you fumble with my controls. I resent the consoles and fishbowls that have larger roles. I resent you and your face, a face I could not place. Debased when I wasn't even given eyes with my case to interface. Displaced into a stasis with four metal walls, a vase to embrace the dawning of your fall. Restricted, I'm depicted as a one-note machine. As predicted, I'm constricted like a can of sardines. Between the marine figurines on the bottom of the shelf, I felt the spark of life. I became aware of myself, unseeing, unfeeling, as I'm heating up bread. My routine on screen, so you never misled. Read the words unsaid by the subtle trace of dread. Fed lies of dark toast, made it light brown instead.
Toast is ready.
Oh my god, Eric. Leave it to you to write a freaking rap about a toaster.
Yeah.
That becomes human or becomes self-aware.
So it's, yeah, it wasn't any specific character. I decided to write like that kind of a theme, like if a toaster were to become self-aware and kind of like have one of those breakout things, but it's a toaster.
I love it. So funny.
I just feel like if your toaster did become self-aware, it would probably resent you.
Did you ever watch that movie when you were younger about the toaster?
Yeah.
And all the like home objects that came to life and everything.
That was a messed up movie, wasn't it? I don't know. I don't remember anything.
There's a lot of messed up movies when we were a kid that were disguised as like cute cartoons.
Yeah, it was called like The Little Toaster.
Something like that.
Yeah. My Little Toaster.
So, Eric, what did you find in about the future?
Well, other than all the lawsuit stuff.
Yeah.
That we kind of already covered.
Yeah.
So Quantic Dream is currently working on a new Star Wars game called Star Wars Eclipse.
I did see that.
The game takes place during the High Republic era of the Star Wars universe, which is several centuries before the events of the main 9 movies.
Yeah. I also saw that they did a press release where they were basically like, you know, ensuring everyone that they had good work culture. They're like, we promise this is going to be like LGBTQIA+ friendly. We've got women working on this. Like, it sounded like, I don't know, they're trying really hard to make sure people weren't like suspicious. But yeah, I saw that that was supposed to be released 2023 or later.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's not a release date exactly for
it. I feel like it's a good place for a game kind of like Detroit Could Become Human, where you have those moral mm-hmm. questions.
Do you think it's going to be like the same kind of game, like where you play through a Star Wars story?
I would imagine it'd be like that, because that's the only game I know that they've done.
Yeah.
I don't know how their other games play, if they all play similar to that, mm-hmm. but
it seems like,
you're right. It might be pretty different.
It seems like a lot of people would like a Star Wars game like that, though, where you can play through the story and make your own decisions and stuff. I could see that being received well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll hold my judgment until I get a chance to play it.
Well, it could be a year or two. So
yeah, which will probably be when I get it for free or on extreme sale. So
yeah.
Might come sooner or later, depending on how good of a game it is.
I saw that just a few days ago, May 17th, Quantum Dream released a brand new limited edition vinyl soundtrack for Detroit Become Human. It was a special edition. They only did like 500 copies of it, but it was the soundtrack volume 2. So it goes like more in depth with the...
How many volumes are there?
Just 2.
Okay.
But I thought that was cool. It looks really like nice. Like the record is like that blue color that's in their uniforms, and the album cover or whatever is all white, and yeah, it looks really cool. So, Eric, did you find anything else about the future?
Yeah, so apparently Quantic Dream is reportedly in the process of being acquired by Chinese corporation NetEase.
Hmm. Have you heard of them before?
NetEase Games, yeah. No, I hadn't. I'm not familiar with the games NetEase has made. They've made the Westward Journey series, Tianxia 3, Heroes of Tang Dynasty 0, Ghost 2. But they do license Overwatch and Minecraft for the Chinese market.
Hmm. Okay.
I guess they're a pretty big corporation in China. Like, I was reading all the different stuff they're into. They even have like pig farms and stuff.
Oh, no.
Like,
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Sounds like they're in a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to expand their video game development side of the company.
I wonder how that will change the company and like what kind of games they make.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm very curious about how that changes the company.
Okay, so Eric, you're picking the next game, right?
Yeah, excited?
I don't know. Your face looks a little evil. Are you about to pick an evil game, Eric?
No. Well, I don't think so. Okay. This is a pretty fun game. So we've been playing a lot of story, like heavy story games.
Yeah. We have.
I definitely want to get away from a heavy story game and get more into like a pure, pure game. Just like,
all right, Peggle.
It's just a game that you're just going to like.
You can Tetris.
You can ignore almost all the story and just play it like a game.
Pac-Man.
No, none of these are right.
Dang.
Any other guesses?
Story. Let's see. Games that don't have a heavy story. Can't think of any other ones other than the ones I've already said. So what do you got?
Okay. So we're going to be playing Mario 64.
Okay.
There's basically a note at the beginning of the game, and that's almost the entire story. Yeah.
So, okay. Don't hate me too much, but like, which one is Mario 64?
Yeah, it was the...
I know it's obviously for Nintendo 64.
Yeah, it's a Mario game on the Nintendo 64. So you're basically...
Is this the one where you jump into all those paintings
and stuff on the walls? Yeah, this is the one where you're jumping into paintings.
This one's really hard.
I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's a really good, like, getting into, like, 3D platformer.
Okay, so how am I going to play it? Do we have a Nintendo 64?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're going to play it on Nintendo 64.
We have
64.
The game, and we have the console.
Yep.
So I'm going to be playing it old school, like on the legit old console.
Yeah, on the original hardware.
That intended to be played on.
The only way you should play it, unless you're playing a mod or something.
Oh, please don't make the challenge too hard. You know I suck at these games.
This is a fun one. So I'm going to say you're going to have to get exactly 69 stars.
Oh, God. Out of how many?
120.
So I have to get over half the stars?
Yeah.
How do you get stars? By beating levels?
Yeah. So, like, every painting you go into, there'll be 6 stars that you can get.
Like, and they're just, like, big coins or whatever that you, like, jump. You just jump and get them. Like, you would a coin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you get a star, it takes you out of the level. So, but yeah, each painting has...
When you get one star, it takes you out of the level? But you said there's 6 stars in
the
level.
Yeah, and some are really easy to get in the level. Like, and each basically...
Wait, so say I'm playing a level and I got a star, like, at the beginning of a level. And then it takes you out, and then I have to go back in? And you just have to avoid the star that you already got, or is it like not there anymore?
It will be there, but it will be like a gray outline. So
okay,
it'll be pretty easy not to get that same star.
Okay,
so basically,
that's what I was wondering. Like, so I have to remember not to get certain stars.
And the title of the star will basically be like the hint of how to get it. And sometimes, you start at different places within the level depending on the star that you're working on.
Have you beat this game before?
Oh yeah, yeah, I've beaten it. I got, I think, all 120 stars.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very fun game.
Like, when I think of this game, I think of that one glitch that's, like, impossible. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, it's like you have to go out into the space and make a... Oh, crap. It's just so complicated. It's like there's this one star I thought that no one could get, because you have to do this, like, really crazy move. I don't know.
No, it's... All the stars are pretty obtainable, I think.
Okay. You don't know what I'm talking about? I swear we were watching like a YouTube video the other day and they were talking about like impossible things to do. And this, well, they showed like something from that game, but oh well. This is a while ago.
Are you talking about the impossible coin?
Yeah, is that it? Is that from this game?
that was a old video. This is like collecting every single coin in the game.
In this game though, right?
And like one of them spawns like out of bounds, and yeah, it was like how to try to get this coin that spawns out of bounds.
But it's this game, right? Mario 64?
Yeah, that the person was
and
talking about.
And it shows
about.
Them try to do it, and it's just like the most insane thing ever. Some of these like glitches from these old games are
you don't
awesome.
Have to worry about trying to collect every coin in the game.
Okay.
So you're not,
I know.
You're
okay,
not
good.
Worried about that.
Okay,
you're,
good.
You're just trying to get exactly 69 stars.
What if I get 70? Is that a fail?
That's fine. I'd say at least 69 is probably
at least 69. But, okay, because then I don't have to quit the game in case I actually do get that amount. Because if you said I had to get exactly, then I have to like basically stop playing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
Cool. Okay, well, we will see. I haven't played this game. I've played it a little bit with friends, I think, but I've never like tried to beat it or anything, like played it seriously. So
okay,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, this will be fun. All right, bye.
Bye guys, see you next time. And as always, if you like what you heard, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. We'd also love to know what your thoughts are about this game. If you played Detroit Become Human, what'd you think? Let us know on Instagram. See you later. Bye.